Hello and welcome to Bounty Hunt, a weekly breakdown of the latest episodes of Star Wars television, brought to you by the Utini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friends, JG, Oz, and our special guest this week, Caroline. This week, we're diving into the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger, to bring you our in-depth reactions and analysis. A quick housekeeping note right at the top, we have a special show coming for you next week, so we hope you all enjoy that. Just know that it'll probably drop in your feeds a little bit later, maybe a day or two later than normal. So maybe look out for that on Friday. Just a reminder, this show is brought to you by The Utini Show, a brand new Utini podcast production dropping on the 1st of April. But with that out of the way, let's jump into the show. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back. Our first, I think, maybe two-time guest this season. Caroline, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about my girl.
Yeah, well, we know a big spoilers. A side of interest was in this episode. We have a big fan here and a good friend. So, JG, Oz, Caroline, let's jump into season 3, episode 9, The Harbinger, which I think I said right this time, not The Harbinger.
Yeah, only took a few times.
Yeah, did not fine. Bring any harbs.
No harbs brought. So this was a pretty cool episode. Starting off with Omega meeting up with Asajj, and playing a pretty interesting dynamic. I really liked the little test that she, the little hoop she made Omega jump through. It kind of felt reminiscent of Luke and Rey in The Last Jedi, I think. I saw some people commenting that, but what'd you all feel about their relationship kind of in this episode?
I thought I was shocked at how sort of quickly and nonchalantly she showed up. Because obviously we knew months ago when the trailer dropped that she was coming. Mm-hmm. We could be pretty sure last night when they tweeted out a teaser for the episode she was coming. And it wasn't like a big moment. It was just like walking to a cave. Oh, hey, look, it's Asajj Ventress. Like, could you imagine if the marketing hadn't spoiled it, like how that was like that reaction would have been wild. It's just like, oh shit, is that who I think it is? And I mean, I'm glad that on screen it didn't play like a big moment, because obviously no one there should know her. The clones sort of recognize her. They figure it out. But as for her and Omega, it was cool. Yeah, like you said, we've seen this before. Omega's going through her Sabine arc, so we'll see how that goes.
Right. And there's some nice parallels that we'll definitely kind of talk about that right. Later in the show. But yeah, I thought it was interesting, like, right off the bat, I'm like, oh god, it's gonna be a season one style Omega's in trouble for the episode and here we go. But luckily it was not that. It was nice, I guess, more focused on the relationship between the two and Asajj's place in the galaxy, obviously, which we'll talk about quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, Omega, is she force sensitive? You know, what's going on?
I thought their dynamic was super interesting from the get-go, mainly because, you know, we kind of know Asajj to be this really jaded character. She's been through a lot. And then Omega has this, as Crosshair called it out, I believe, in this episode, some naivete. Like, I might be misremembering if he said that or not. But obviously, like, still has a lot of hope about the galaxy. And so mm-hmm. I thought their dynamic together was really interesting and played out in a entertaining way.
They had a really unique, like, sisterly vibe and bond mm-hmm. Between each other. And I think this episode really just showed that, like, we're all, like, wondering, like, you know, what is, like, is she force sensitive? Does she have force powers, et cetera, et cetera? Really, her power is the fact that she just breaks down the walls that people have. Like, probably anything that Ventress went to that planet with came down around Omega. Anything with Crosshair in the past this season comes down. That's like what Omega does to these people around her.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes her and Batcher such a good pair, because you yes. know, got therapy dog and the bestie that you vent all your problems to. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, I really liked the overall structure of this episode. I guess I wasn't really sure this is how we're going to be reintroduced to this character, but I mean, it was fun. And I know Caroline mentioned the relationship with Crosshair and Omega. I really like kind of the moment of Omega being like, well, you know, you've screwed everything up, and we, you know, I trusted you and brought you back in. And then the Batch, which is obviously, they're obviously very distrusting of Ventress at the start. Crosshair is like kind of the first one to literally extend his hand out to her, kind of welcome her in. So I really like that. You know, he's learning.
Well, and Omega she, once the batch finds out, oh, that is Asajj Ventress, they're like, we can't trust her. And Omega's like, remember what we just did with Crosshair? Like,
We've been through this.
yeah. And she says, I never gave up on you, did I? And Crosshair's like, oh, damn, you're right.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, and I mean, like, also, it's kind of the I enjoy the exploration of a very, brutal war chewing up and spitting out everyone on both sides. And, at this point, no one, there is no republic, there is no separatist alliance or whatever. It's just people and what you've left behind. And also, like, this is not the first time the Bad Batch have dealt with separatists. Like, they like freed like Raxo or whatever the heck his name is. Like, he was in the show like two or three episodes ago. I mean, they did call her a war criminal, so I guess like they got that baggage, but
Although,
I'm
and we're
sure.
gonna dig deep into the Dark Disciple stuff. I'm
Yeah.
sure she is technically no longer a war criminal. She got a full
Did she
pardon.
get a pardon?
She
That's
did.
true. Yeah.
Yeah. So the batch clearly is behind on their
And
information.
hey, yeah, I guess they didn't get that like top secret briefing from the mission where they tried to assassinate Count Dooku, so.
Right.
I think bouncing off of what you said, Jacob, this whole episode was incredibly well written, but there was like the one line where she says, "We were all pawns in the same war, and yet we all lost."
Yep.
And that just sums everything up.
Her stuff.
I thought it was a really like poignant point from her to call out the kind of like systems at large rather than saying we as individuals are enemies. Just kind of once again hammering home the idea of just how oppressive the Empire is in every way, including the people who it employs.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of separatists end up becoming kind of like founders of the rebellion later down the road. Obviously, the Bad Batch don't know that that's coming, but like, they're it life sucks for everyone under the Empire. So it doesn't really matter what, what you or your parents did. You gotta, fight back in some way. So.
Well, and the show is all about redemption arcs, like even more than Star Wars on a whole. We talk about this every week, but it's like more and more that's what this show is about. And Ventress has one of the better ones in canon with Dark Disciple, and even just in the Clone Wars before that book came out. I mean, after Dooku threw her away, she was like, maybe I wasn't being such a good person. She's still not a good guy, but
Right.
she's not a good guy.
Yeah, she has a lot of fun in like what season was it season six of the Clone
Season
Wars?
five. I
Five?
last
Okay.
week I did say
Five.
season six, so maybe I ruined it, but I looked it up this morning and it was season five. She's in The Wrong Jedi and To
The
Catch a
last arc.
Thief, I think it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of fun. I mean, we're kind of dancing around, eventually just diving into her character for like probably 30 minutes. So, but is there
Yeah,
any other
because
kind of
I mean, ultimately, there wasn't a lot going on in this episode, plot wise. For JG's sake, I won't say it, but
Don't do
I'll be honest, this was
it.
not my favorite episode. And
Wasn't
it didn't
mine.
really have much to do with Asajj's return. I have some issues there, but part of it was because we've been hyping ourselves up for 3 months about like how crazy the Asajj episode or episodes is gonna be. And it was just like a quick little training montage. There was some good writing, you're right, JG, and cool character moments. So maybe this was just like it wasn't what I wanted, but it didn't really do it for me. I think I'm alone on this panel in thinking that. So I will happily let y'all counter. But I think you're right, Jacob. We're like hesitant to get past the appetizer when really we're all ready
Yeah.
for the steak.
I think I do think it was written well. I understand like not loving this one. It's just I do hope we get more of her this season. And again, we will definitely get to that point more down the road. If this was it, I would have really hoped for her to be on like, hey, we're just doing one of those big like mission of the week kind of type episodes, which is weird that I would want to ask for those, but like, rather than some character development. But she's an awesome character, she's very capable. It would be dope to see her like be like, we have a job to do, we're gonna go in and take down random Imperial dude on this planet and just let her see, watch her go crazy. So
It's not my favorite episode of the season, but it's definitely higher up there. I think the longer, because at first I was kind of very much in that place where I was like, oh, this is what we got. This is definitely not what we expected, which, to their credit, subverting expectations. But also at the same time, I was like, oh, I thought this would maybe have been a little bit more flashier. But the more that I've let this sat today, it's like it really has like resonated really well for me. And I think there's a lot more very nuanced, deeper reason to why they brought her back besides whatever the future may bring, but specifically for Omega and her journey.
There were a couple moments in this episode that kind of left me awestruck, which I think does make it one of my favorite episodes of the season so far. First of all, can we talk about the like fight choreography when she's hand to hand with the Bad Batch?
Yeah, the
I
fight
thought
was sick.
it was so good. I was amazed at what I was watching. My jaw was kind of dropping. And then also just the visuals of everything to do with that monster at the end. Do we have the name for it? Do we know what it is?
No, it's a giant
Tomorrow
squid thing,
morning.
but I'm
Sure,
sure
yeah.
it will be dropped in the episode guide tomorrow, as always.
But I just thought those visuals were stunning, especially in the moment between Asajj and the creature.
Yeah, at the end of it, where the colors are like cascading down its back as it calms down. Very cool design.
And it was just fun to see. Like, I don't think there's been a character around in, well, I guess there was that Mantis dude like literally last week, but there aren't that many characters that like can push around the Bad Batch in a fight. So it's fun to have a character be like, no, she will own all of you, and it's, you know, it, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Yeah, it was. I love her taking away her guns, and she's like, "No, boys, fight fair." And but then, of course, she uses the force a couple times, which felt a little backhanded to me. But she is a trained Sith assassin, so I
Hey, but
guess
she
now
used that
sure.
one whatever, God, what's the thing, the fighting style with the fists that Pratre Vader used?
Oh
You
my
know what I'm talking
God,
about?
that deep pull from High Republic.
Yeah, that'd be legit though. You know, that still counts. So anyways, back on the train of normalcy.
Briefly.
Briefly. Any other kind of like, hey, Caroline, I don't know if you were about to say something. Sorry, did I cut you off?
No,
Okay.
no.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a fun episode. You know, hey, we've spent 12 minutes on, I think that's long enough. We can dive into, oh my God, Asajj Ventress is back. Did they
Shocking.
erase Dark Disciple? No. You know, hey, it's spicy, it's crazy. Bushy's here. We again knew this was coming a couple months ago, but the episode's here. And yeah, she has her yellow lightsaber, which is dope.
Oh,
It
yeah.
is the curved hilt. Which I never really understood how her Dark Disciple lightsaber worked or happened or was made. Everyone seems to know it's like, oh, it's definitely the other design that also looks like the Darth Maul design. Look, it's all been confusing for me.
Yeah, I don't know
But
about that, but whatever. She's got a
it
yellow
looks
saber, which
dope.
on its own is cool.
It's clean.
Which did she have that in the Clone Wars?
She never did.
Okay.
Nope.
I
I
think
didn't.
this was our first time seeing it on
So
screen.
other than Rey's lightsaber for that 0.25 seconds at the end of Rise of Skywalker, this is, I guess, the first time on screen we've seen a non-regular saber. If you don't count Mace's purple one.
Temple guards.
Oh, Temple Guards, damn. Yeah, okay, never mind.
I was waiting for you to drop the caveat. I'm like, well, if you're not going to, I guess I have to.
I don't know, it's just cool. I know we're getting the Acolyte soon, so I'm all hopped up on lightsaber colors, which don't have a meaning, and don't at me.
Nope. If you say
Yeah.
consular, guardian, whatever the third one is,
And
I'm going to, you're banned. It's
she was fighting in the Vaped style. No. Yeah, she would no, it was just a great visual and just cool to see her back. Like, regardless of anything else, it's like cool. And that ultimately is like I think the number one thing.
Also, she got that bomb ass haircut while we're talking
Oh,
visuals.
so good. Looks so good.
Especially,
And it
yeah,
stays
especially,
styled in the water too
yeah,
with
when
a
it was slicked
mohawk. Oh
back,
my
my,
gosh.
oh God, yeah. It looks sick.
People are thirsty for Asajj today. Like, I'm not even
Yes.
on
It
Twitter
makes me
and it
question
is.
some things, Oz.
It has permeated outside of the Twitter sphere. I think mostly just because Jacob's sharing stuff with us. But
What I'm here for.
yeah, so people are feeling feelings.
Yeah. Another really cool visual thing I really liked was the when she's in the water working with Omega, and she brings all the fish in because it's like these, I don't know, they're like some manta rays or something like that have this green bioluminescence in a swirl around the boat they're on. It looks like Night Sister magic, which, you know, had to be very intentional. Especially considering there's green Night Sister magic in the water, also in Dark Disciple on Dathomir. So I just thought that was gorgeous.
Especially with her saying that, you would summon creatures that match your energy and everything, which I thought is why it was so interesting that it was just this kind of swirl of all these like peaceful seeming creatures. And then when the big squid thing showed up, I was like, ah, yes, this all makes sense that there's both of these things inside of her.
It's very Ezra Bridger season one esque.
That's what I thought too, actually.
And while we're talking about Dark Disciple parallels, in that book, like I said, we're going to talk about this book a lot. So if you haven't read it, you should, because
It's
it's a great
great.
book. Yeah,
Yeah.
I recently
Even
revisited
with
it.
this episode coming out, still read it. It's
Yeah,
due for a good
it's
read.
this episode does not erase it. It changes the ending or expands upon the ending, however you want to call it. It's a retcon, that's fine. In that book, she on Dathomir summons a creature called the Sleeper that she makes Quinlan Vos kill. And so that scene, maybe unintentionally, kind of paralleled this one, but instead of having it killed, she, communicates with it and eases it. She does cut off one of its tentacles, but
Yeah, do
that,
what you gotta do. Yeah, Omega was
gonna die. So it's, still a big change in character from when she forced Quinlan to the dark side by making him kill a big beast. When I don't know if we know really what the sleeper looks like other than
I heard
some
someone
kind
describe it as a snake online today. I don't know if that's accurate. It's been a little
of
while
snake
since I've
is how
read
I
it.
pictured it. It's a book, so we don't have any art for it. Oh, apparently there is. It's a Legends thing. I've got it's one
Oh,
of
of
the pages
course it
pulled up here.
is.
It's
Of
from
course.
Jedi Academy, maybe. So anyway, this just reminded me of that, and it was a cool kind of turn on that scene.
For sure. But yeah, it's cool to see her, make peace with it rather than try and kill it. I did see, I don't know if this is an archives thing. Oz, I know you listen to that show a decent amount. Trev made a comment about lightsabers and water, which I didn't know was an issue because the Clone Wars season 3 on Mon Cal happened, so.
I don't know that I just saw that episode. They just did a Star Wars Archives did an episode all about lightsabers. I just saw it
Okay.
hit my podcast app. I have not listened to it
All
yet.
right. Dang. Well,
Do
we'll
we
report
not?
back.
Do they not pull out sabers in Phantom Menace? Maybe not.
They don't when they're
No.
underwater.
But yeah, I mean, we definitely see Kit Fisto. I feel like in the Clone Wars do it.
Yeah.
So
It's fine.
and in Clone Wars.
It's it, it it's you know it's Star Wars. Who cares? But yeah, very
If you're
cool.
spending this episode worried about the technology and a lightsaber, like you're
It's
doing the
like
wrong stuff.
clearly the water should be cavitating around the blade because of the heat generated by the
Right.
yeah. I know that yeah. I this is in my show notes again. Ozark, I mentioned it. She goes down the water. She also at the end of Dark Disciple when she dies is laid to rest at the water. So it's another kind of interesting thing for her to come
Yeah, she's
down.
laid to rest in the water,
Yeah.
which raises some questions.
Hey, she okay? Yep. We'll get there. We'll get there.
It's also parallel to Crosshair earlier, whenever he was like being almost drowned. Obviously, two different, like one is, being forced under, one is, by choice and such. But there's a lot of parallel between those two characters.
Yeah. Also, okay, since I wasn't on that week, I'm gonna very, very quickly say, you guys mentioned I think the some other instances of waterfalls or whatever. You forgot one, and that was the very first episode of The Bad Batch with Kanan falling down a waterfall, which Crosshair was very obsessed over. Anyways, moving on. I think it was Oz maybe mentioned earlier. Sabine, I think it's a very interesting time to talk about her journey in Ahsoka. Because Asajj very bluntly says, like, hey, blood doesn't make you a Jedi, which I thought was a very nice, interesting call back to what happened in that series. And also just kind of, I think, general sentiment around, like, the idea of midichlorians as a whole. She also said the word midichlorians. We've kind of been dancing around that with M count since, like, 2021. But
Yeah,
here it
okay, so
is. The M
can I
word.
talk for a second
Yeah, go
on
ahead. Go ahead.
midichlorians?
Take the mic.
I made this note about a month ago when they started talking about M count. So midichlorians have been mentioned 5 times on screen by name. Well, in 5 different things. They say it 9 times in The Phantom Menace, once in Revenge of the Sith, Darth Plagueis the Wise, 3 times in The Clone Wars. One was two of them are the Yoda arc where things were getting weird. And then
Makes
one of them
sense.
was just a bar patron in the background when Obi-Wan walks in dressed as the bounty hunter undercover. A
Oh,
girl
Rako
says,
Hardeen.
yeah,
Yes.
a girl says, "I'd like to know his midichlorian count."
Oh my God.
That's the only times they've ever been said on screen. It's been said twice in any canon literature, once in a story of Jedi and Sith, High
Okay.
Republic story, the Yoda one where
Oh, yep, I know.
a kid fakes his midichlorian count test, and then it was actually said five times in that story, and once in Trail of Shadows, they say there are no midichlorians left in Loden Great Storm's dust. Spoiler alert for the Rising Storm. Then it's been said three times in Mando, or no, just once in Mando, and three times in Bad Batch, all this season, and then one time they said MDC count in Victory's Price, the Alphabet Squadron novel. That is the entirety of times midichlorians have been mentioned in canon. Basically, half of them are in the Bad Batch, and we finally, for the first time in 20 years, heard the word on screen, and that's just so exciting. I don't know if there's a point to that, but it's crazy.
I'm
Like you
not
said,
sure
we've
either,
been
to be honest.
no, but the point is, we've been dancing around saying midichlorian for so long, and so I was like, surely other places have said it. They don't, and people were like, is Lucasfilm scared of midichlorians because they know fans hate them? Because
No.
fans do kind of hate them. But it's just cool that they finally said it. And shout out to Canon for finally starting to get there.
Hey, fans in the most massive air quotes imaginable hate a lot of things. So, we
Yeah, but
can't.
I feel like midichlorians is one where like most people kind of agree, like maybe let's talk about it as little as possible.
I bet you Jennifer got a good chuckle whenever she was like writing it. She's like, "Oh yeah, this is it. This is the moment. I'm gonna use it here."
Yeah, right. Yeah, that I mean, it had to be a conscious decision, and it
No,
makes sense
no.
for someone who was raised in the temple to know the full word.
Yes.
So it all came to a head
She was
very
not
well.
raised in the temple, Oz. Come on.
Well, she spent time. Okay.
She spent no time in the temple. What's his face? The crappy Jedi, like,
One who
crashed on
her,
her planet and
that
took
all
her
happened.
in.
She didn't spend any time in the temple.
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, she
God,
did. She
what's his
has Jedi
name? I need to do a
training.
rewatch
then.
Dooku. No, it's this isn't Dooku Jedi Lost. I can't remember his name.
Oh, right.
It, like,
Oh.
there's like her master like comes, it's kind of similar still to the micro series story where her master like comes to this planet and sucks and dies and teaches her to be like a fake Jedi, and he could have taken her, this is a big plot point in Dooku Jedi Lost, he could have taken her
It's all
back to
coming
the
back now.
temple, and she gets very mad when she discovers he could have and never did, because then he
Yep.
dies and leaves her there alone.
Right. Okay. See, I just went on all that canon deep dive, except for anything that actually mattered to the story. So you're right. But regardless, she has Jedi training, is my point. So it would make sense maybe that she knows that word. And it's still kind of wild to. I remember when we first heard M count in Mandalorian, we were
Yeah,
like,
that
are
was
they
crazy.
really doing what we think we're doing? And so.
Also, her master's name was Kai Narek. I had to look that up.
Nera. So outside of just those three literature mentions in canon, we finally have the big word. Like I said, not a lot of point there, but just kind of crazy that it's something so big as midichlorians has been talked about so little. So what does it all mean?
Well, blood does not make one a Jedi. You can obviously train to do it in some way. I don't think that is where Omega's character is going. I don't think she's ever going to be trained to use the Force in that way. I don't know if it's gonna be like a Grogu situation where she has to like consciously turn down a path, but I just don't see this for her future.
I agree. And again, it just points back to like the whole, the Phantom Menace, like Oz said and such. Like, I really think that they painted it very clear then, in my opinion. And I think this just reiterates what was said at that point by Qui-Gon.
Yeah, so I hope that it's not going to go down that road. One, because it's way too samey with what Sabine just did. And two, because I didn't really like that Sabine did that. I actually kind of liked, we just had a big conversation about it, this, a lot of us, and I kind of liked how the story played out. I would have rather than maybe not do it, but I don't mind the concept of you can train to be a Jedi despite your M count. I don't think it's a good arc for Omega, but I think you're right that they're not going this way.
I mean, I still, what, 3 seasons later, don't really know the end game for Omega. And I'm open
Yeah.
to whatever, really. I trust them with whatever story they're gonna tell. But yeah, I mean, I just don't think it's this one.
I
I wonder,
interesting. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I wonder if like, 'cause does one's imcount have anything to do with the cloning process? Like, I wonder if maybe the Empire doesn't know that it doesn't, and then they'll like stop obsessing over it or something. 'Cause yeah, it doesn't seem it yeah, it kind of doesn't fit in with, at least on an individual level, Omega's arc. Obviously there's something going on larger, but
Yeah, I don't know, because clearly she's been shown to be different than the other clones when it comes to her tests. Whether that means she does have a high M count or not is intentionally left open for debate here. I also thought it was really interesting that they have Asajj bring up midichlorians, but she doesn't test her blood. She's just like, I'm going to give you a few like skills tests, because I think that. That's what you would do if you don't know about midichlorians, to see if someone has the force. So Asajj seemed very confident with her findings at the end, which she didn't fully reveal to the batch. But I don't really know how she got her results.
Well, there was like definitely like moments where like Asajj gets like distracted and like Omega locks in. Like with the fruit, it's like there's like you see her like have this moment of serenity, and like who knows what would have happened if I'm not gonna count the flower one. That was a little, kind of a bit of trickery on Asajj's point anyways to get rid of her for a minute. But then yeah, you also have the boat thing. Who knows what would have happened if she actually had time to concentrate and the squid wasn't there. So yeah, I don't it there it's giving us hints at something. Again, I don't know that this is her path. I don't know if she is like truly force sensitive, but there's something there.
I kind of took that ending scene with her in the batch a little bit different. Like, I think she's basically confirming that yes, like she has the high M count. It is there. Like, y'all need to like figure out what you're gonna do, because like if she is to go down this, she's gonna have to separate from y'all. Like, and I think without basically painting it black and white for the viewers, or even for the Bad Batch there, like she's basically saying, yeah, like my tests have been confirmed. Plus also in regards to like the actual testing and such, like the actual midichlorians, I wonder if she even would have the equipment to do that in that environment, you know?
Probably not. But
Go get Nalase's data pad again and
Yeah. I agree though that I think as viewers we're supposed to think that Asajj decides she has the M count, but is kind of for her protection just not confirming it. I saw people saying that this, the episode could have ended with her going with Asajj, kind of like you brought up Grogu, sort of like Grogu and Luke at the end of Mando 2.5, or no, that's at the end of Mando 2. Which again, I'm glad it didn't. I think that would have been, I think that's the thing, is that an Omega Force arc would be distraction from what is going on Tantiss. Like, if she spent two episodes training with Asajj, it would be cool to see, but I'm glad it didn't.
I don't
It's
know.
going to be interesting to see how they spin it, though, because, like you said, how they could go down the same path of echoing Sabine's story. They could also fall into the trap and echo Grogu's story. I do think, though, that they could go down something similar with like a Grogu story, but they would have to spin it in a different way.
Yeah, I am curious, like, because Oz mentioned, like, when she's leaving, she's kind of saying these things, I guess, kind of for her safety, Omega safety. We now have another person that knows where Pabu is, and apparently, also she found Pabu off of nothing. So I don't think it's spelling good signs for the fate of that planet. She's like, you're not safe here. They can get you if they want to.
The
So
Harbinger.
yeah, the harbinger of that island blowing the F up. So
Yeah, they're about to have a big cruiser in there.
Camino 2 Electric
It
Boogaloo.
is going to be very Kamino-esque, I fear. As long as Batcher's off planet when it happens.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
And it's like the that Brooklyn Nine-Nine scene. It's like, I've known this dog for eight episodes, but if anything happened to it, I would kill everyone in the room and then myself or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were giving a resistance shout out there, Oz, for a moment. You
Sure, yeah.
played with
Let's
my
go.
heart.
Let's go with
Something about the
resistance.
Colossus? I don't know. Is that where we're going?
I don't think Pabu can fly off like the Colossus
The entire mountain just lifts off and flies into
can.
hyperspace.
Plot twist.
Oh, if we can have force mountains, we can have hyperspace mountains. That's all I'm saying.
I'm down.
All right, we're not going that deep.
All right. Okay. Another thing we definitely have to talk about, Asajj's kind of last line is of her having more lives to burn. Obviously, this is hinting at however she got here, however, she's not dead or died and came back. And, the Night Sisters have a long history with necromancy and bringing people back. So, this is not like a massive leap. It's obviously, we hope it to be under explained at some point. Is this something that Mother Talzin and her spiritness did? Is this something old Daka, who, if you're not a sicko, is the person that actually raises the Night Sister zombie army in like season five? Is that something she has done somehow? Who has granted Asajj these lives?
Herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vibes.
What if it's a what if someone oh, I forget the actual term for it, but a good old Ben and Ray moment.
Oh, a dyad?
Yeah, not necessarily dyad, but the transferring of life force or
Force
whatever. Do you
healing.
think
Yeah.
Quinlan
Yeah.
came
back and kissed her back to life?
I shut up. That's not where I was going with that, but just in general.
That's what I need to be true, though.
Yeah. I think the easy answer it's Night Sister magic, but like
Yeah.
I was trying to be a little creative here, Oz. I wasn't going down the
Hey,
Disney princess route.
I'm not judging. I'm just making sure I understand you.
Caroline,
Caroline's all for it.
if that's a need,
Yes.
I am sure AO3 has your fix.
That's so true. I was just briefly speaking of Quinlan. I like was perfectly fine with not addressing how she was there. I was like, cool. We'll probably get to figure it out later. And I'm glad that it's not like taking up episode time. The one thing I did want though was like just a sliver of a mention of Quinlan, and I would have lost my mind, but we didn't get that, and that's okay. I still loved the episode.
I think we have the closest is that indirect mention of like when they ask like if she's a Jedi, she's like, I know their ways, I think was the line or something like
Yeah,
that. It's
yeah.
like, she knows. She knows. Wink, wink. Yeah, and we do have to remember that he's probably most likely alive because of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, so he's out there somewhere. There's still, I guess, technically a chance he could show up in the show, but I don't know if I see it at this point anymore. Again, we will talk more later down the road about what the future of Asajj is, but yeah, she's back.
Yeah, and weirdly, despite, I mean, clearly, if I'm going to do a deep dive like that into midichlorians, and I mention all the comics all the time,
Of
I
course.
do care about canon and I talk about timeline a lot. All that stuff does matter to me. I really don't care that they didn't explain how she's back. One, because there's an easy headcanon with Night Sister magic. And two, because it wasn't important for this story. Sure, it would have been maybe nice if there was something given, but it would have been clunky because it's like no one on screen knows she should have been dead, so there was no one to tell. And like we'll get that story later. That's fine. It also, and I think this is really important, it doesn't, despite changing the ending, it doesn't undo what happened in Dark Disciple. And I think that's really key when it comes to bringing a character back. So I don't care that Maul came back, as stupid as it was, because like, yeah, he got cut in half, he didn't survive. But the Obi-Wan's arc in the Phantom Menace didn't require Maul to be dead or survive. It didn't make a difference. Whereas now I get why people are bummed about Palpatine coming back in Episode 9, because that changes the end of Return of the Jedi. Now people have different opinions there. It's not to get into, but I still think Dark Disciple stands fine on its own, even knowing that she didn't really die, because she died in like the last 10 pages, and
Yeah.
Quinlan still got rid, he still came back to the light. Asajj had a great arc. I'm not too worried about it. We'll find out eventually. Probably not in the Bad Batch if we even see her again,
Yeah. And
we'll
also
get
like
there.
both of those like characters still, I mean, they sacrifice a lot with one of them dying and one of them, having to give up someone they cared about. And then they give up a lot more because Order 66 happens and the galaxy flips on its head. So it's not like a oh, we're sad, and then she's alive and we're happy again. Like your life, like everything is still very hard and rough for these characters where they're at right now. So like there's still a lot of room for like character arcs and growth and more story, good stories to be told. Because again, Dark Disciples a banger, Dooku Jedi Lost, which is like honestly more of an Asajj story than a Dooku story, a banger.
So good.
And this episode pretty solid.
I'm with Oz, and what y'all have been saying is like, I don't think I personally, even though there was no reference to it, like did see the results of Dark Disciple in Asajj's appearance in, or not even physical appearance, but just her appearance in the episode. Because we saw her like, she was still classic Asajj in that she was kind of rough around the edges, but she was like pretty quick to take to Omega, I feel like, which, as JG said earlier, I think is just part of what Omega does. But I feel like, we saw a little bit more softness from Asajj than we did, at least in the Clone Wars. And I think that's a result of the events of Dark Disciple. And so even though nothing was directly addressed, I do feel like, this is, there's no question that this is a post-Dark Disciple Asajj that we saw.
Yeah, it's perfect in that, like, if you haven't read Dark Disciple, you are fine to jump from her appearance in season five to this, and that works. But if you had, it doesn't feel like they're skipping it. Like, it really is the best of both worlds. And again, go read it. It's a good book.
Just a reminder, also on the Darth Maul train, unless you were a sicko and read a comic book, he goes from like season five or whatever the Clone Wars of like being kidnapped and tortured by
Oh, yeah.
Sidious to like surprise he's back in season seven. So like, this is not the weirdest leap for people who have not like read a book.
Yeah, and he survived because he was angry, which is a far dumber explanation than like I'm part of a literal tribe of
Well,
magic people.
I no well that yeah that's the survival part. I was talking about how he got broken out of prison in a comic book, and that's how
Oh,
he came
sure.
back.
Oh, yes, that is in Son of Death. Well, because the
Son of
comic
Dathomir.
also shows him on it's one of the Tales from Vader's Castle, shows him on the trash planet make his spider legs, which
Oh.
yeah, see, even Jacob forgot about that comic.
Yeah. Hey, I'll remember in like September whenever that
Omnibus
collected edition
comes
comes
out,
out.
yeah.
So
So yeah, this Asajj coming back makes just as much sense as Boba surviving the Sarlacc pit, in my
that's fine. It works. It's cool.
Which similarly, Boba dying was not important for Return of the Jedi, and no one was mad about him surviving. So
Yeah.
don't be mad about this either.
And
Preach.
Boba, Palpatine, they also survived in Legends, so hey, whatever. It's not nothing crazy. So I'm excited to have Asajj back for sure. And we're not done talking about her though, of course. But first, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor of today's podcast, and that is The Youtini Show. The Youtini Show is a brand new podcast from Youtini, debuting on the 1st of April. This is not an April Fool's joke. The crew of the Living Force is back, and they are here for a brand new podcast. It's not all Star Wars this time. They're talking about all sorts of things. I'm sure they'll talk about Formula One because Corey's there. I'm assuming Eric is going to find a way to talk about football, and other not sports things. There will definitely be Brandon Sanderson talk. But hey, it's a variety show, a variety podcast. It'll be back on April 1st. They've been teasing it on Twitter now. But yeah, Corey's back, Charles is back, Eric is back, and Wes, despite not living in the state of North Carolina, will also be joining the boys. And it will be on the main Youtini YouTube channel. So check that out on April 1st. For the time being, it is going to be uploaded onto the old Living Force podcast feed. So if you're still subscribed to that, you'll find new episodes pretty soon. But I know a lot of our community has been eagerly awaiting the boys getting back together. So if you are looking forward to that, if you're a good old friend, good old fan of the Living Force, I would urge you to check out that podcast coming out April 1st, Monday of next week. Mark your calendars, and yeah, hope you enjoy. All right, so moving on, we have a quick community question, which is a great just segue into kind of more predictions and our kind of final segment of the day. Lando from the Discord asked, I've seen some people say this could be a backdoor pilot online. Do you think there's any validity to this idea, or will Ventress come back later in the season and get a fuller explanation of how she is here? What is the future for Asajj Ventress? And to kind of like tee up this conversation. We have a few kind of quotes from online. From her data bank entry, it basically is like kind of a recap of Dark Disciple. At the end, it says, you know, she sacrificed herself to save Quinlan's life, taking the brunt of Dooku's Force Lightning during their final confrontation, but this was not the end of Ventress's story. And then director Brad Rao said that, you know, not all answers to the mystery of interest will be told in the show. There will be future answers down the road and something else. But it's really cool that we get to have this character back and interact with our characters. So a lot's happening right now. What do we think is the future for Asajj Ventress?
I was on a roller coaster today. I finished this episode. I'm like, oh yeah, she's coming back later in the season. It's gonna be great. I'm so excited. And then those quotes start popping up, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that's definitely a teasing, like a backdoor pilot for sure. And then I saw Molly Damon from Star Wars Explained say, oh yeah, this could be a great Tales of the Jedi season 2 arc. So that's where I lean towards now. I think that makes the most sense. Could it be a whole new show? Yeah. I think Tales kind of fits what these stories could be.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, just because it doesn't make sense from a brand standpoint to me. However, I probably would have said the same thing about the Bad Batch 3 years ago. I thought this was an odd choice to go to, when I sort of felt like now I am going to say it, JG, Resistance was kind of there as filler. It's a good show. It's a good show,
I thought you
but.
were going a different path. I was gonna
Yeah,
agree with you.
fight.
Nope.
It just like it felt like okay, we're leaving Rebels behind. We need something until the next thing, and then the next thing was the Bad Batch, and I was like, what? That didn't really make any sense to me. I think that an Asajj Ventress show would be weird. However, I would be here for it. I just don't really see it happening. And sort of like, what's the story? Is it the what's it called, Jacob? The open path,
Oh, Hidden Path.
the hidden path. Thank you. It's that dang High Republic confuses me. Yeah, I mean, maybe she hooks up with that and we have a hidden path show that I could see a little more. So maybe you're right. Either way, I don't think she shows back up this season. I think that's sort of annoying, but I think the way she left, it doesn't really leave space for her to come back. There's time. There's what, 6 episodes left?
Was
Six to eight.
eight?
Six. Is it 16 episode season?
Yeah, there's a
It's
handful of
15.
episodes
It's
left.
15.
Yeah. Okay.
It's shorter this season for some reason.
So there's time. I don't know. I don't see it happening. And then Tales of the Jedi season two, I could totally see. If that's where they explain that she lives, I don't know, or if it's just an older Asajj. And then you could use a young Asajj episode of Tales of the Jedi to soft launch again. I don't know. I'm sort of just confused by the whole thing. I have no clue. Caroline, what do you think?
I think I hadn't even thought about Tales, but that makes a lot of sense to me. Even if like Tales could certainly be the end of it, or it could even be another soft launch of something even bigger coming after. I personally am clowning for another book. That's what I would like to see, just because I love Dark Disciples so much. And I think it's really interesting to be in Asajj's head. This character that is pretty purposefully standoffish a lot of the time whenever she's on screen, and getting to read her in pages is obviously offers a lot more insight. So that's my clown theory. Do I think that'll happen? I don't know.
I
I
feel like
feel
it's less
crazier
clown
stuff has
makeup.
happened.
Yeah, I feel like it's less clown makeup to ask for a book than for a whole ass TV show. So I don't think
Yeah,
the
that's
clown
probably
is
true.
there. I think, I don't know, the one thing that keeps giving me pause is like bringing her in is a very deliberate choice.
Yes.
I know that sometimes they don't necessarily care if they overwrite the books, and I get that, but that was sort of a big thing to change. It's just that like they obviously know about Dark Disciples, so they had to do this for a reason, and this doesn't feel like a good reason, this episode.
They said when this like the first like season trailer dropped, like, you know, hey, we felt like this was a story we need to tell with her. So like I definitely don't think this is obviously the end. We're getting more, you know, I can maybe see I think Oz is right that it's maybe unlikely we see her the rest of the season. Maybe it's like a Mando season 2 Ahsoka thing where it's like Ahsoka shows up one episode in the middle and then it's like, I'm here for the final fight. I could see that for
I
this
can see
character.
that. Yeah.
She's the cavalry, maybe.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know that it's a book coming next because I just don't see the visual media like tossing book plot lines out there. I feel like the books kind of always like
True.
work around. I mean, they're not like fixing plot holes or whatever some people might want to say. It's just like they're trying to tell stories in the space left by the shows. It's not the shows setting up book plot
Yeah.
lines.
Shadows of the Sith. I but yeah, this story itself, like this one episode, could have used just about any known Jedi character. This, like, if you watch, sure, she's an interesting case because she has touched the dark side, but
And the
this,
clones.
and she, yeah, she did work with the clones, but most Jedi worked with clones in some respect, not against them, but I just this didn't feel like a compelling reason to bring a character back from the dead if they don't have more plans for her.
So I'll put my clown makeup away and I'm gonna put on a tin foil hat. We're gonna go really crazy here.
Let's get it.
There's a quote that was somewhere, I think it was on the main Star Wars site, that said that Dave was a big reason for her coming back. We know we have lots of Night Sister stuff happening, or lots of magic and such happening
Oh
in
God,
the
you're gonna
Ahsoka
say
season
it.
one. Could she become like the Mother Talzma type figure, and we will see her in like Ahsoka season two, live action?
I mean, could
I'm
we?
just
Oh my
saying.
gosh.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I didn't
How
even
does
think
that Dave, if
about that.
Dave really suggested this, and Dave is the one that's making the Ahsoka show and really planning this stuff, and we have a lot of Night Sister stuff happening.
There is like, I don't
Mark my
know.
word.
She was also taught. We've spoken on this, but she was talked about to come back for Resistance, and I don't know if that was a
Yes.
Dave choice as well. But I mean, well, Resistance takes place after Ahsoka does, but there, I don't know. There's some credence there. I'd be extremely surprised to say the least, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, I don't feel like I don't know how also I don't know how much they would like respect the story that Jedi Survivor is telling as well, but like you have Mirren to think about with her, you know, relationship with the Night Sisters, so
Oh, she's dying in game three.
okay, shut up.
Yeah, probably. But I
You're
mean,
probably right.
anytime you do that, and it's happened a few times now, Ahsoka is obviously the big one, but you do have to explain where she was for the past 20 years. Now, I think,
Tales of the Jedi season two.
yeah, I think with Asajj, it's easier than with Ahsoka because she was not a Jedi, so it would make sense for her to stay out of this conflict, but there's still some lingering questions there. But
Hey,
yeah, sure.
don't forget we still have the bug. So that's always
Oh,
bug.
bug. Oh God. Actually, this wasn't Asajj Ventress. That was actually Barriss Offee in disguise.
is Merrick.
Yeah, that's Merrick. No,
Yeah.
JG, I think you win this one.
I
Not that it's a
am
competition.
just thinking about how, if the internet was thirsty for animated Ventress, how thirsty it would be for live action Ventress.
I would not be. I don't know if I'm brave enough for that, to be honest.
If we want to talk about thirst traps, this we get a little spicy on here. JG saw that there's a new ship name going around,
Oh
Oh Lord.
between Asajj,
Oh yeah, okay.
and Crosshair, which unfortunately, yeah, Caroline figured out they labeled the ship Asshair. I like the ship, don't love the name.
I mean, we can go with corsage. Kind of sounds
Yeah,
like croissant.
corsage
It's
is I like
I like
corsage.
corsage.
That's good. I will say, I kind of found myself shipping the two of them in that moment when he helps her on the ship. But also, we need a queer Asajj, especially with that haircut. That woman, in my opinion, I think we need to have some queer rep. And I feel like she could be.
That's
She's
what do you think she's doing in Ahsoka season two?
Oh boy. You know, hey, she this is Crosshair is her rebound post Quinlan that launches her into her bi phase. That's just, you know,
Yes.
or
That's
not
it.
phase, sorry, her bi era. We'll go with
Yeah. Era is a new word.
that.
Shout out Swifties.
Yeah.
I think that's a good time to also mention to listeners is that Caroline has played it very cool through this recording. A few months ago when we were talking about who would want to guest on on the show, she was like, whenever the Asajj episode comes out, she was begging, and for like
I
weeks,
was.
she's like, yeah, I'll come on, and she did a few weeks ago, but she was like, but I'm coming back for Asajj. So she has been herself very thirsty for this return.
I
Oh,
just
thank you.
listen. Dark Disciple is whenever we like, in the Utini Slack pool sometimes, I feel like regularly I'll repost rankings of our favorite Star Wars books. And I'm always putting Dark Disciple in S tier. I really think it's one of the best canon books there is.
Deserved.
I used to have it mid-level last month. It shot up to probably a top 10 for me. So
There
it's
you go. I
also
also.
one of the best, just quickly, one of the best forwards to a book I've read.
Oh yeah, by Katie
By
Lucas.
Katie Lucas.
Katie Lucas, yeah.
It's like
I
kind of like
miss
talking,
forwards.
yeah, it's talking about like her experience, like, in with the franchise, with George being her dad. And it's like ended like kind of with something along the lines of like, hey, George was like, he's like the best dad I could have ever had, like bring me into this world, something like that. And it was very sweet. Anyways, great book. Caroline, I
I'm really
interrupted
bad
you.
my dad didn't come up with Star Wars.
Yeah,
I
that should have been sick.
was just gonna say that, I think the reason I'm so drawn to Asajj as a character is just because, my history with her goes so far back. Like, I remember the 2D animated microseries and when she first showed up, and just thinking it was kind of Darth Maul all over again, of like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And because I watched that series like when it was airing, and we used to have them on DVD and we would rewatch them all the time. And so she's just always been an extremely cool character to me. And then for her to show up and become canon in the Clone Wars was just a delight to kind of see this bridge from my childhood into the series that I didn't watch till I was older. Whoops.
Okay, neither did I. Yeah,
Yeah, same. Did she
even have a name in the Tartakovsky series? Like, was
I
she just
think.
this cool shadow assassin on Yavin 4?
I
Oh
don't
boy.
think,
If you guys
like,
look,
verbally said, I don't think.
I rewatched it
there's not
like
much
a
dialogue in
year
that
ago.
entire thing,
Right.
so and
True.
most of it's by Shaggy.
It's
Yeah.
I rewatched it when Brotherhood came out, because Brotherhood, Mike Chinn kind of canonized the Anakin's fight with Asajj, which is why I bring it up. Which, and you're right, it is such a it's one of the best episodes of that whole series. And most of that series is still it has been brought back into canon, basically everything but like Dirge, and he even is back, just not that fight. You're right, she's such a striking visual character that it is very much like Darth Maul.
All right, so some Wikipedia Legends page lore.
Oh boy.
Leland Chi is the first person to suggest the name Asajj, naming her after the character Asaji from Akira Kurosawa's Throne of Blood. She first appeared actually in a comic book and not the micro series. It's in the Jedi Mace Windu, not to be confused with Jedi the Republic Mace Windu or Mace Windu. There are too many Mace Windu named comics. And also there's like a something in the notes and references talks about like a behind the scenes thing where licensing asked them to come up with names, and refers to Dirge and Asajj Ventress. So maybe she was not named in the show, but I don't know. There you go. Was that useful? Probably not, but yay.
Yeah, I love a good Wikipedia deep dive, you know
Yeah.
Mother.
Truly. And hey, we got the new special edition lightsabers from Galaxy's Edge recently that had the micro series like box that they came in.
Oh, that's cool. I don't keep up with lightsaber news. That's neat.
So that's pretty sick. Another kind of cool thing that we got from the StarWars.com today was a interview with the voice actress Nika Futterman. She kind of talked about her experience with the character and like how they're like, yeah, we had all these plans for this character, and then season five kind of happened, and we're like, we're kicking her off. She's doing new things, and that was it. And then we never really kind of went back to her. So it's very exciting for her to come back to the show or come back to the character. But anyways, at the very end, they say it's like there's a feeling that the future is wide open, or as the voice actor says, that Asajj could do anything and become anything. I think we're going to find out a lot of things about a lot of things, she says, and I think we're going to have all kinds of fun adventures. So hopefully, Tales of the Jedi Season 2, a standalone Asajj Quinlan show. Who knows? The future's bright.
If we're just throwing out wild shit, we need to fill out Rey's Jedi Order for the
Yeah.
next movie. So Asajj and Omega could be around right next to Grogu. And you know who, JG? Tamiri
Is,
Black.
oh, I thought you were gonna say Zare Leonis or whatever,
Oh,
but
no, Zare is not Force sensitive. You're thinking of Jaikel and Jaikel Force Sister Dara,
Jaikel,
Servants of the Empire. I didn't even bring it up on my own this time. And
yeah.
obviously, Reave from Star Wars Hunters will be there.
Right,
Of
right.
course. So,
Hey, that
oh,
game had an
that's nice.
update,
Oh, God. Yeah, I have no idea where she's going next, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Caroline, our special Asajj guest. Any other final thoughts on the character, or the episode as a whole?
I'm also just excited to see more of her ever. And I really liked that her appearance in this episode was pretty contained, because yeah, it leaves everything wide open.
I'll say very quickly, I saw a dude on Twitter. I have to apologize. I saw, like, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was at a convention where the voice actress was there, and he's like, "I love your character. I'm very excited to see her come back for the Bad Batch." And he had said that she, like, responded back saying, like, "Oh, this is just the beginning." And he took away from that, "Oh my God, Asajj show." And I'm like, dude, that's the wildest leap in logic I've ever heard.
Right.
Like, that could
And
mean
he could have been
anything.
right.
And now he might be right, and I may have to take all that back. So, hey, dude on Twitter, you know who you are. We'll see. I'm excited. More Asajj, always a great thing, and a great episode of the Bad Batch. Next week, again, we are having a episode that's going to air a little bit later in the week, but it'll still be there pretty reasonably quickly. And it's a double feature. We have episode 10, Identity Crisis, and episode 11, Point of No Return. A quick reminder, this episode has been brought to you by The Utini Show. Check out The Utini Show, a great variety podcast airing for the first time April 1st, and should be back, I assume, every Monday in the future. But that'll do it for this week's episode of Bounty Hunt. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out our other lineup on the rest of the Utini Podcast Network. We also appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find us. It really helps others find the show. If you're already a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. An extra special thank you to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bazinski on our High Council, and our captains James T, Ashley Angles, Colton Five, Chris Carrizo, and Sally and Chris Eilerson for all their amazing support. Head on over to Discord, where we're continuing this conversation about this week's episode in the SW The Bad Batch channel. And a huge shout out to our editor Kyle for all of his excellent work in getting us out to your feed so quickly, and Wes for all the Utini Network support. Thanks as always to all of our fantastic listeners. That is it for us this week. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Bounty Hunt Podcast.
Yeah? Good.
To learn more about other Utini Patreon exclusives, visit utini.com.